but I like to be comfortable. I like to have the good things. I like to have a bed that's comfortable. I like to have a house that's warm. Well, in Queensland, it's not that important. I like to have a car with power steering and air conditioning. But there's other times I just want to do it a bit rougher. I like to have a car that doesn't run quite so well with no air conditioning, no power steering, and you need to make it work. And no one is identified with it. I'm on my own. I went camping last week, and just me and a camper chair and a broken down car for a few days. It was excellent. Sometimes we need to run it a bit. But generally speaking, I just love to be comfortable. I just like to have the luxury around. I like to have that. But the question is that really the best thing for me? Is that the best thing for us, just to live in a world of comfort? I was reading something the other day, and it was from a page talking about young athletes, and it was talking about the benefits of discipline, and it was saying how discipline is so important in athletics and sport, and it's important for young kids to identify and understand what discipline is. And it lists a few things that benefits from discipline. And the first is they learn the value of hard work. We have the natural athlete, the one who's just so gifted. But then they tend not to put the hard work in. But we have the others who are reasonably gifted but put the hard work in, and those are the ones that succeed. And we need to learn, and we learn as kids, that it's the hard work that gets us there. We learn to sacrifice some things. To be a great sports person, you need to sacrifice time. Time on your phone, time with your friends. Time to do something, you need to sacrifice your food, you need to sacrifice comforts at some stage. I remember many nights of watching my daughter play practice sport in the cold and the wet and thinking, is my daughter worth this? Yes, of course she is. What are you thinking? But there's those sacrifices that they have to make. They learn to deal with losses. I think in our society today, we don't like looking at loss, and we try to soften and mollycoddle kids. But we need to learn how to deal with losses. And discipline talks about not being caught up in the loss, but learning from failures to get on with the future. And they learn how to set and accomplish goals. The more you achieve, the more you discipline, the more you succeed. And I was reading this and thinking, this is important. This is good stuff. That we need to consider discipline more. Then we have 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Paul's telling us that we need to be disciplined. As Christians, we need to be disciplined. We need to see that there is a goal in sight, that there is a race that we're in. And we need to understand that we can't just sit back and hope for the best. As Christians, there's a mandate on us to be disciplined. A mandate on us to become better, to challenge ourselves, to step outside of what's comfortable, to step outside of what's easy, and to pursue what God's calling us to do. I think some of us, at times, are like those young sports kids. But more often, I think we fall into the realm of retired old farmer. There's a story of a retired old farmer, and he's heading out to get the eggs from the chook house. And as he walked across the farmyard, he noticed that the pump was leaking. And he needed a new washer. So he headed off to the farmhouse, off to the barn to get a new washer. And as he was walking in there, he saw that the hayloft needed straightening. So he wandered across there to set up the hayloft. And as he got closer, he realized that the broom had a broken handle. And he needed to fix that. And by lunchtime, he still hadn't picked up the eggs. And I think that describes more of our spiritual life. I think that we walk through life trying to serve God, trying to do the right thing, but we keep getting distracted and we miss the discipline. We miss the important things that we need to set in place. We have the intention to get to the right place, but we wander all over the place. We need to be able to say, hey, this is what I want to achieve. This is what God's calling me to. And to be more disciplined in understanding where God's leading us and how to get there. There's an argument about, are we spiritual or are we religious? And we have this thing of saying, well, if I'm religious, I have the rules and I have all these commandments and I follow this stuff and this is a religiosity. But then we have the other side of saying that I'm free, and in freedom I just allow God to do stuff in me. Where's the healthy medium? Where's that place in the middle that says religiosity is bad, but also to understand that loose freedom isn't true freedom at all? And we need to find that place of where God's challenging us to be disciplined, but also to find that freedom within that. When I go into RI and stuff, at the beginning of the year, I play a game and I talk about how we need to have rules to understand how to go about life. Because if you want to be a great sportsman, if you want to play a team sport, you need to know the rules. You need to understand how the rules work. You need to know the nth degree of the rules. Because if you're out there playing hockey and you go kick the ball around, you're going to get in trouble. Need to know the rules and to be able to express how to play the game within the rules. As soon as you break the rules, you get a penalty against you. So what is freedom in that context? Freedom is knowing the rules, how to use the rules, how to play the rules, and to be able to win with the most amount of skill within the rules. And when you understand the parameters of the game, you have the freedom to be a genius. But if you don't understand how the world works and don't understand how the game works, all you do is keep getting penalised and sent off, and you can't even play the game. Does that make sense? We often say freedom is a lack of rules, but it's not true. Freedom is actually understanding the rules and working within the rules to the very best of our ability to get most out of the game. And life has rules. Our society doesn't like having rules in life, but life has rules. There's things we cannot, can't do. There's things that hurt us. There's things that hurt each other. There's things that will get us put in prison. There's things that will destroy our lives. And we need to understand that true freedom is the freedom to do the very best that we can within the parameters of what life is. So somewhere in the middle between religiosity and freedom is true freedom. This place of understanding how the world works, what the world's parameters are, and how we fit in it, and how God's leading us within that. And we need to find this place because this is true freedom. True freedom is understanding the parameters around us, the boundaries around that, and becoming the best we can within that. We need to learn spiritual disciplines. We need to understand how to be disciplined. We need to learn how is God teaching us and leading us, and what does it mean for us to become the very best we can. 1 Timothy 4:7 to 10 says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and we strive, because we put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe." What this means is that sometimes I'm going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm going to have to do things which my body goes, I might have to get up early. I might have to change the way I understand how I relax, the things that I do. I might need to sacrifice some time doing one thing to do something else. I might need to sacrifice and change. I might need to meet with different people. I might need to make myself accountable. I might need to ask some questions of myself that are uncomfortable. Because if I want to become more like God, if I want to become more like Jesus, then I need to accept challenges that God's going to make to me. And I need to take on things which I may not be entirely comfortable with. I read the other day, and I can't see where it's written, so I didn't read it out. But the question is how much do we follow religiosity and rules, and how much are we following what we perceive as freedom? Where is that line between, and how we become more like Jesus? And Richard Foster wrote in Celebration of Discipline, "The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. The inner righteousness we seek is not something that is poured on our heads. God has ordained the disciplines of the spiritual life as the means by which we place ourselves where he can bless us. In this regard, it would be proper to speak of the path of discipline and grace. It is grace because it is free. It is discipline because there is something for us to do." What he's saying is that we have this part of us that God comes in and changes us, but there's also an element that we're responsible for making choices. And the spiritual disciplines create those choices and create those actions which make us more like God, as God is doing a work within us. Donald Whitney writes, "Although God will grant Christ-likeness to us when Jesus returns, until then he intends for us to grow toward it. We aren't merely to wait for holiness, we're to pursue it." God's made us to pursue him, to pursue what's right, and to set things in our lives which will change us to make us more like Jesus. Spiritual disciplines are important. Why? Well, the first thing God is, Jesus modeled them. As we look through the life of Jesus, we see him modeling disciplines. We see him praying. He went away and sat on a hill and prayed. He took time out to pray, to sit with the Father. He read Scripture. He understood Scripture. He meditated on Scripture. He went to the tabernacle and he quoted Scripture. He fasted and he talked about his disciples and how they were fasting. He submitted to authorities. He talked about how give to the Greeks what is Greek, give to God what is God's. He worshipped. He modeled worship. And he modeled practice. He modeled and showed us how to discipline ourselves, how to become more like Jesus, and things that we need to put in our lives. We need to realize that abiding in Christ is not a passive activity. Jesus tells us that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We like to have, well, God's doing stuff in me. That's great. He'll make it happen. But it's a two-way street. We need to make choices to become more like Jesus. It's not a passive activity where God just goes miraculously, but it's a process of us making decisions and choices to be more like Jesus and to be challenged by God and accept those challenges. The disciplines help us to understand spirituality. So often we just take on board that spirituality is a concept of just walking with God and hearing God and speaking God. But it's so much more than that. The more we understand the Bible, the more we get in touch with who we are, the more we sacrifice and deny ourselves, the more we get in contact with our spiritual selves, with our true selves. It's easy to just connect in a normal, spiritual, emotional concept with God, but we need to push ourselves to go the deeper. Our bodies want to be comfortable, but as we deny that comfort, we're connecting with God deeper and deeper. We need to push that. The disciplines help us to understand our physicality. The more we discipline ourselves and make choices for pursuing God, the more we cut back our body's desire to push ourselves, push us. I don't know if you're following, I'm getting a little confused. But we need to deny ourselves to allow God to do God's stuff. And as we make choices to pursue our God, as we make choices to deny ourselves, we're able to connect in with who God is more in our lives. We're able to understand more of what God wants of us. We need to understand who God is and what he wants for us in our lives. So what are the disciplines? I don't want to give you a list of these are the disciplines. What we're going to do is go through that in the next couple of months. And we've got a process of saying over the next couple of months we're looking at discipline and how do we put that into our lives. So I don't want to go into the general, this is the discipline. What I do want to say is what are they generally? Firstly, they're personal and interpersonal spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are for me, myself, but they're also community. There's things that we do on our own. There's disciplines that we need to have in our own lives, like prayer. There's also elements that we need to do more broadly with others, like prayer. There's things that we do together, like worship, but we also need to have a place where we do it on our own, like worship. We need to have Thanksgiving and just be able to spend time with God, thanking him for what we do. But then also as a community, we need to spend time thanking God for what he does. So we need to understand that disciplines are personal, but they're also communal. The second thing is their activities. There's a difference between activities and attitudes. Spiritual disciplines are activities. They're things that we do. And again, I'm not saying that we want to have a religious, this is what you must do, but we need to find that place of choosing to have activities that are building us up and strengthening us in God. We need to understand that spiritual disciplines are activities that we do. The third thing, they're practices that are taught and modeled by the Bible. I love to go out in the bush and connect with God and just sit under a tree and stare at the sky. Not really a spiritual discipline, more of a way of connecting with God. And we can't use that as an excuse for spiritual disciplines. You know, I went away, I sat under a tree, I stared at the sky, and I was right with God. That's excellent. But that's not a spiritual discipline. The spiritual discipline is the prayer and the meditation and the connection with God. They're the activities. And we need to be able to say, well, I connect with God in my garden. That's excellent. But that's not a spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline is the meditation and the prayer and the connecting with God in that process. And we need just to define that difference. The practices are taught and modeled in the Bible. They're sufficient for knowing and experiencing and for growing in Christ-likeness, to become more like Jesus. And we need to know that the disciplines make us more like Jesus as we practice them. We need to understand the spiritual disciplines are derived from the gospel, not divorced from the gospel. It's not that we see Jesus and connect with Jesus in the gospel and then we move on to deepness. Deep in God is still in Jesus, it's still in the gospel. We can't go beyond that. Spiritual disciplines are connected to who Jesus is and the stories from the gospels. That's the essence. If you look at the Bible, the most important part is the God, the Jesus bit. We're Christians because we follow Jesus. We need to be able to understand the gospel is a core to who we are. Jesus is the middle. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the foundation. We can't just leave the disciplines around and just miss out on the gospel. It comes back to the gospel of Jesus and who he is. And the last characteristics are they're the means, not the ends. Our goal isn't to be able to sit down and just say, what spiritual disciplines are you practicing? How many hours are you spending in here? That's not the goal, it's the means. What we're doing is getting to become more like Christ-like. And the spiritual disciplines are the steps to take to get to that place. We don't worship the disciplines. We don't focus on the disciplines, but we use the spiritual disciplines to be able to become more like Jesus. We need to understand that this process is going to be hard work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take pain. It'll take self-denial. What do you get in life for free? We need to work for those things that are of value. And if Jesus is of value in our lives, then we need to work to be able to discover more of who he is and how he is in our lives. Spiritual disciplines is the framework to be able to see God do God stuff in our lives. We need to be able to sacrifice and put God first. I read during the week, just as the body cries out for cake when it's forced to eat broccoli, the flesh screams to give into indulgence when forced to work a harder way. The more that we pursue God and the disciplines, we'll understand that we need to sacrifice. We need to step outside of comfort, to step outside what's easy, what's popular, and pursue what God's calling us to do. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God's calling us to take that harder step, to take that step towards him, to take those steps which take us out of the comfort level of what our bodies are designed to want to do, to pursue what is better. But it's interesting that the more we push ourselves, the more our body appreciates what it is that we're pushing ourselves. It's like the more we exercise, the more we can exercise. The more we push ourselves, the further we can push ourselves. And it's that first step of being inconvenienced, of being taking the difficult step, of making that first step of self-denial, that self-sacrifice, that gives us the capacity to take the next step and the next one. You don't start off on a 10-mile hike by going on a 10-mile hike. You don't start jogging by jogging from here to Nambour and back. Your first jog is around the block, or in my case, to the car. We need to take small steps. And as we take small steps, we can take bigger steps, and we can take bigger steps. And spiritual disciplines take practice, and they take time, and they take commitment, because it's worth it. And as we take those small steps, we can take larger steps. The one thing that we have to put in our lives are habits. Better habits, good habits. Because what we have at the moment, speaking on behalf of myself, is some pretty bad habits. We need to change our habits and to be able to put the spiritual disciplines in our lives so they're a part of our habits. It's a part of what we do. It's a part of our core essence. We need to realise that things that are worth it take sacrifice and they cost us something. And pursuing spiritual disciplines in our lives will cost us something. So how do we go about it? The first thing is we've got to ask God for help. As God's in this, as God's leading us to challenge who we are and to challenge us as a people and as a person, we need to ask Him for help. God wants to empower us to do this. He wants to give us His grace to be able to do what He's called us to do. We need to ask God for help and realize that it's His journey too, that He's in this with us. The second thing is we need to attempt one life change at a time. What we tend to do is to say, oh, I want all the spiritual disciplines, I'm just going to go for it. It's not always really helpful. What we need to do is just take one at a time. And that's why over the next 17 months, over the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at spiritual disciplines, one each week, and we're going to create a plan of how do we go about putting that into our lives. So it's a bit truncated. That it's looking at one spiritual habit and then how do we go about putting that into my life, starting a habit in our lives. Third thing is to enlist the help of our community. So often we live life on our own, we give ourselves the challenges and we give ourselves, but sometimes we need to have people around us just to support us and encourage us and strengthen us, and that's really important. And with the spiritual disciplines, it's good to have people around us who will encourage us in that. Encourage us to keep going. And we need to accept God's grace when we fail. And I hate to say this, but we will fail. We will do things wrong. I'm a great example of failure. We all are. Because we all fail. We all get things wrong. We all do stupid stuff. But we need to understand that God's grace is in that. God's grace doesn't focus on our failures, but it focuses on how we learn from that and get to the next step. We need to accept God's grace and God's mercy and our own mercy and grace on ourselves as we fail to become better. If we were to say, oh, I'm trying this spiritual discipline, I'm going to pray for 2 minutes and I can only get 1 minute out, we go, oh, I'll just give it up, what the heck, that's no good. And you'd be able to say, God, I need your strength, let's try this again. We're going to accept and need to accept God's strength, God's grace, God's mercy. And just in concluding, I wanted to read out 1 Timothy 4 again. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and particularly of all believers. God's putting a challenge in front of us. This week, I want us to spend time and just say, God, what is the challenge that you have before us? I want us to spend some time looking at when we've tried it in the past and not got there. What have I tried to put in my place and not got there in the past? And how do I put that into my life in the future? Over the next few months, we're going to look at a lot of different things, as I've said before, and try to create good habits and try to create good disciplines as we go through. This week, just to say, hey God, where have I not scratched up before? Where have I felt like a failure? Where have I felt like I haven't? Please be given guidance. And let's understand what tomorrow brings. Let's look to tomorrow. Let's look to next year. Let's not get stuck in what we've done in the past. Let's pray. Father, we want to be more like you. We want to understand who you are, understand what you're doing in our lives. Father, we want to see Jesus in everything we do as a community and as an individual. And we need your help. Father, we know that you abide in us, that you live in us, that you're committed to us. Jesus, help us to be able to make choices and decisions, to be able to put actions into place, to be disciplined in our lives, to pursue more of you, to pursue more of how you work in us and more of what you're doing amongst us. Father, help us to understand your forgiveness, understand your mercy and your grace, and to be able to understand the fresh starts that come through you. Father, help us get a little bit of excited about who you are and what you're doing in our lives, and how you can change us to be more like you.